America Nuremberg.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to our Visionary Activist Show, the one right before the California primary. Woohoo! It is the dark of the moon right now. There'll be a new moon in Gemini on Saturday. But dark of moon is traditionally when people would gather, wizards would gather, good wizards, to direct the course of collective attention. That's what magicians do. So, dark of moon, positive intrigue. Whoa, again, with liberating wizards. I'll be out in California on June 11th, part of Fairfax, California's Echo Fest, giving talk at the Women's Center there in Fairfax, California at 6:30 p.m. June 11th, inaugurating our guiding story. That will also be with Amakayla Gaston, who sings the intro to this show for so long, and we will be woofing it up. I know of no more powerful time to gather, and that will be followed by June 20th, again, the full moon summer solstice. That will be at Open Secret in San Rafael, 7 p.m. More details slowly coming on website coyotenetworknews.com. So, yes, I will be weaving context really at the end of the show, because we have such fantastic guests sequentially. So we're saying that today is Wizards of Rousing Reverent Renaissance Rising from the Rubble Radio. I just couldn't resist. It is pre-California primary woof. We are honoring wizards. We're honoring the wizard Bernie Sanders, we will explain, and hosting great music wizard, great mage, really, distinguished. My longtime co-cahooter, John Densmore, legendary drummer of the Doors, and more. So welcome, John Densmore.
Hey, Caroline. Thank you. This has been in the works for 5 or 10 years.
I'm very pleased. I think so. And then let me just do a little sidebar shout out. John Densmore will be with us for perfect amount of 20-minute time, and then we will bring in young aspiring wizard satirist Lee Camp. All right, now back to you, John Densmore. There we go. So. Yes, and we've been meaning to do this for years. You wrote your wonderful book, which is really an embodiment of not selling out, which is why I thought it was so great for you to give voice to your fealty, the fealty you have pledged to Bernie. I love the word fealty. Have you pledged your fealty to Bernie?
What does fealty mean?
It means not obedience. It means not obedience. It means heart's dedication.
Yeah. Well, I went and saw Bernie about a year ago at the L.A. Sports Arena, and I wrote a piece on it, got it into the Des Moines Register on the day of the primary there, and then I got the front page on the Huffington Post of the piece enlarged. As I wrote, whoa, there's 20,000 people here screaming at this disheveled guy. And the Doors played at this concert hall, and Bernie's not even wearing leather pants.
Oh, that's great.
What? You know something's happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Republican? So, cut to, since I live near Hollywood, I saw Bernie. I introduced Bernie, a few weeks ago in Irvine. Wow. Now he has security, which he hates.
Right.
And I just, you know... you flatter me by saying wizard, and I feel helium rising when you say that.
But oh, good. What I think, you are.
I think about Bernie as Michael Mead had this line, everybody gets older, but not everybody gets elder. Bernie's an elder. And the job of elders, you know, they look after the youth in the African term Latima from 14 to 27. And, that's what Bernie's about. you bless the youth. They carry the future.
Right.
But, so there.
But yes, but it's also wonderful. It's like, no ghettos, no ghettos. I loved, I hosted Makana some weeks back, who wrote Great Bernie Anthem, you know, and he did so well on MSNBC when they're like, but you're, or I think it was Fox, actually, which they go, but you're a young person. Why are you encouraging this old person? You're like, no ghettos. It's everybody. That's great because he embodies the thing. And, what I like to say also is the winds of uprising, the great awakening are blowing across the world, really. It won't be put back in a box. And, you know, Bernie's got his sail up. And, you know, we're the wind.
And whatever happens, I'm thinking, hoping, praying, Bernie's army will, whatever position he gets, will, you know, come together whenever he calls on us. An important issue, hopefully millions will go out in the street. And you know, I got asked by, what was this called, the Rap? Have you ever heard of that? Some online political thing. And they said, oh, we'd like, you're a Bernie supporter, we'd like you to make a statement that he should bow out now because Hillary's, you know, Trump is so horrible. To which I said, no.
No.
If Bernie gets California, he will have more power to push progressive agenda. Thank you very much. So...
Yes. No. It's great that we tie ourselves to the mast, or just everybody, about any desirable vision when people go, but what if that vision doesn't happen? And you go, no, inch by inch, life's a cinch, yard by yard, life is hard. We're not sucking the chi out of the sails. But, you know, like the mainstream news guys, like, but surely you would. It's like, no, you know, I like Susan Sarandon. She was like, no, not, that's too soon, premature. Premature articulation.
What's so beautiful, Bernie's a hero because... You know, I mean, you see in California here, Hillary's ads are, oh, I help student debt, blah, blah, blah. You know, Bernie's whole agenda that he's been rapping about for years. So, you know, it's a permanent effect.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, that's why I'm so delighted to cahoot with you, and as we have done in years past, when all praise to Robert Bly, and our cahooting, but, it is the art of directing attention. So this energy is, we're not thinking about, you know, any, you know, there's no fixed future, but it's not going away. This is a rising renaissance of directing cultural attention, and the renaissance needs music, like South Africa, music in the streets, and like yourself, John Densmore.
Yeah. Primarily I've been looking for music in between sentences, but I play here and there.
Right. No. But, and also, just let's animate against all odds desirable things. Let's see you, you know, playing at the inauguration, January 20th, 2017.
Oh, I'm down for that.
Okay, let's go. You know, we go, all right, we're humming this. We are all magicians, every dedicated listener. We are all, because part of the dynamic, rereading Ursula Le Guin novels, and one of them that I'm on now, it's like, we need mythological campaign coverage. It's magic has left the land, and people are dark, and they're turning to the cunning man, the con man, and the restoration of magic, and we go, no, language, music, all of that, magic. And so here comes you, because you've also, for years, been working with musicians from all over the world. Yeah.
Well, I will accept a minister of culture.
Yes. Okay. You know, I want everybody to make up their own. We're making a. We're conjuring our actually existing shadow trickster government. So, okay. So you want to be minister of culture?
Well, I mean, I know that his name is. Wait a minute. Quincy Jones has been lobbying Obama for that. To have that office, because, you know, in all kinds of countries, let's see, Gilberto Gil, an incredible bossa nova artist, was the Minister of Culture of Brazil, you know, equal to the Minister of War and the Minister of whatever. Come on, when the arts, when the economy goes down, we need more art because it carries the vision.
It makes the community. It rouses the thing. It makes things happen. Issei Barnwell was just appointed to some important thing by Obama yesterday. She is a genius at chorusing. And I go, I'm going to see her right next to you on the inaugural, getting, you know, a million people singing and chanting together, because that's the quality of what we want here. We go, yeah, that's really great. So, Yeah, so I like that, you know, well, you've got your Huffington Post thing, you've got your increasing venues, because we like to bless everybody who comes on the show. Whatever you want, John Densmore, you deserve it as a great wizard, whatever opportunities want to unfurl before you, because you carry medicine. Let me just honor what's a lot of your book. You know, again, you've told this story 800 million times, but I think it's really important right now and in connection with this election, which is, you know, when Lincoln Continental offered the band the Doors, I thought it was 4 million. It's actually like 15 million? What was it? Something.
Let's see. Way back, it was Come On Buick, Light My Fire.
Okay.
How's that sound? And that's right. When Jim just went crazy, and he didn't even write that song. And so he's my elder or my ancestor, and I'm not going to let that go. And so, yeah, a few years ago, it was $15 million from Cadillac, a gas-guzzling SUV. A break on through to a more polluted environment, maybe it was. I became Mr. Vito, and...
yeah, I love
you
it.
You know, I mean...
No, can't be bought. You can't have this. Yeah.
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 I mean, I can't find the words. I guess I've got dough. Come on, I'm gonna, you know.
No.
And I need to spread it around because money's like fertilizer. It helps things grow. When hoarded, it stinks.
There you go. It's why Reverend Ike says, don't use the word spend with money. Circulate. And we go, because spend is exhausted. Yeah, it was right. So poignant when one of the most beautiful songs that Nina Simone ever sang is now some car ad. And it really does suck the chi right out of it. It's like a dementor. It just like, oh, no. Anyway, you did it. You did it. And you maintained the veto. And as a perfect Mars-Venus mix wizard that you are, you know, the Peruvian women say that the job of the women is to tell the men when there's enough. Stop hunting. We have enough. We have enough, you know, raccoon pelts. We have enough oil. Stop drilling. Stop hunting. Stop entertaining ideas of $15 million for selling out your beautiful music. Stop. And so you did it. You did it.
And you know, it's so tough in the music business. I understand a new band doing it to pay the rent. But if you get a toehold on success, re-examine that decision because, as Tom Waits said, you do that, you turn your lyrics into a jingle. And that's the sound of coins in your pocket. And maybe you just sold your audience.
Right. Well, I think, you know, one of the huge themes I'm just taking everywhere, you know, backwards and forwards, but especially now in this campaign, the con man versus the trickster. And Americans can be very confused because they look sort of similar, but no.
Yeah,
And the con is imprisoning and the trick is liberating. And again, you're saying, no, we will not have our liberating music, you know, forced into servitude to the imprisoning con of, you know, of lower astral. Who's a. Anyway, I'm happy to write the blurb when you, or more blurbs when your book comes out again, second, you know, next edition. All these things. And also, I was just thinking, you Hermes wizard, yes, I'm sticking to it. The Doors. I was thinking Doors. Yes, Thresholds, Crossroads. But a band called The Thresholds or The Crossroads, not quite it. But Doors, so we're at a crossroads, right? I mean, can you guide us through a door, Jim Densmore? Or?
Intuition. And I actually have a third book I'm into, which is called Meetings with Remarkable Musicians.
Oh, that's good.
A play on, you know, Gurdjieff's Meetings with Remarkable Men.
Yeah.
And each chapter is someone I've met. And Elvin Jones was my mentor, Coltrane's drummer. And we're just standing on the shoulders of all those dudes. And just, you know, Bernie is a... I mean, you know that he's just going to fight. Yeah, he's 74. So what? He's just going to do it, and that's so inspiring. That just feeds everybody.
Well, I love.
Go ahead.
I mean, there is a lot of creativity bubbling up, which is wonderful. I mean, disruption is our friend, you know, and posters and one was saying, you know, candidates want you to trust them. Bernie doesn't want you to trust him. He wants to join him. You know, we're all in this thing together. I do have a slight a composting of war metaphors just for the fun of it. How long will we have war? And I go, as long as we use it as a metaphor. Okay, anyway. But fair enough. I mean, and so just I know we're going to release you. Well, we still got 6 minutes here. Okay, that's right. You know, so you went to a number of rallies. It is also amazing, you know, the Monterey rally, the 20,000-30,000 in Oakland and many who couldn't get in. And then you said, you know, he's just gotten security since Irvine. Apparently some dingbat ran at him and Secret Service had to...
It was weird. But, I mean, you know, that's part of the game.
Well, I think we want to do some wizard spells, you know, really, for this upcoming. We certainly, you know, Trickster's Keeper of Democracy may... I like, you know, let me toss this to you. May anything, any chicanery, anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth. Is that good with you?
That's good, Trickster.
No, Trickster, because, you know, we just want it to be honest, and anything that isn't, you know, and then, you know, the whole realm of fierce blessings. But, yes, so the Renaissance is going to require music and comedy. That's our next guest. And magnetizing, animating, spiraling forth, you know, the all-inclusive guiding meta-narrative. So, you know, this energy is not going away, no matter what. And I think that, you know, keeping going... Bernie certainly is, you know, against all odds, but you actually, you know, that, you know, we checked that box. This is the year of Trickster, against all odds. Yes.
I did when I introduced him in Irvine, I sang a few bars of L.A. Woman, you know, and everybody sang with me and clapped. You can see it on YouTube. But, I said, I did this for a reason. The L.A. Woman was one of the first cities to pass the $15 minimum wage. Hello.
Cool.
So there.
Cool. Yeah. Excellent. That's great. I was hanging out with the Afghani community in Washington, D.C. again, and it's the model of where there's war, let there be art and music and satire. Art is the antidote to too much Mars. But I was joking with an Afghani musician saying we should have a concert of all the musicians that America has gone to war with. And he goes, there is no hall so big enough, you know, and there has to be extra rooms for the future. And we go there. But I know,
well, my instrument, drums, has been used for eons to stir people to fight. I hope my whole life I've been drumming for peace.
Mm. Yeah. So, you know, we allow everybody in public to, you know, hold on to the word fight and everything. And Bill McKibben, God love him, goes, we're going to fight global warming. I'm like, all right, okay, whatever. But we do want to, words are magic. We want, as we amplify our vocabulary, and Trickster says, we don't care what you do. We just care the manner in which you do it. That'd be from freedom and choice. So lots of words, you know. So, you know, come join us for this rousing dance, this spiral. South Africa in the streets, right, it was like, yeah, that kind of quality. So well, we're delighted you're here, rousing Huffington Post, playing music, and you were playing Persian music for some time, yes, with our ally.
Yeah, Reza Derakhshani. It was all in Farsi. It was really inspiring, and the rhythms are challenging too. So that was very sweet.
Yeah, and maybe we'll see more of that at inaugural parties.
Oh yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. No. I think the global musicians syncretizing now is part of the sacrament, and the musical projects that you're engaged with, you know, all blessing. What would you like blessed, you know, before we reluctantly release you?
Oh, my next book.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Your next...
It's about music, you know. It's about my teachers, you know.
Oh. Beautiful mentor honoring, and Bernie honoring mentor, and then just your the blessing of your ancestor Jim Morrison coming through you, because you've kept it clean and haven't sold out the beautiful work at all. It's still liberating, not a con, you know. And any woofiness you want to encourage the California voters with?
Oh, come on out and do it, please. Everyone come out.
That's great.
And
so,
I guess I want to hand the baton as a 71-year-old. There's this young buck Lee Camp, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Who's got the fire, so...
Yes.
Take the baton, dude.
Okay, there we go. That's John Densmore introducing our next guest, Lee Camp. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you. Quite an honor to be on next to John Densmore.
That's great. No, I am introducing everyone as a wizard, and I love being able to spiral forth your great work, Lee Camp, to an even ever expanding audience. Your show Redacted that you'll be recording later today. Exciting. Do you want to just how can the listeners subscribe to your show?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Redacted Tonight, it's called, and we're on RT America. We're also on YouTube, so everybody can just go to youtube.com/redactedtonight. And if that's confusing to remember, just leecamp.net. But, yeah, we air every week, and actually two shows a week. I just interviewed, the one that will air tonight, I interviewed another Democratic candidate for president that almost no one's heard of, named Rocky De La Fuente, and he is claiming election fraud. So it's quite unusual to, and against him, but also against Bernie Sanders, and it's quite unusual to hear a presidential candidate declare election fraud. And so that will be on my YouTube channel later tonight.
I love it. I am dedicated to your show. And again, disruption is our friend. I've been so liberated from. I used to spend 2 hours a night watching MSNBC, and it's gone. Gone.
That's right.
It's like I'm free, and
free,
you know,
at last.
We are the media. I mean, you are the media. You know, and all this rising up, you know, media is a tremendous opportunity because the old is going down. And I do love you, Carrie. Well, you received the baton from John Densmore. That's cool. And then the baton of satire. I don't know if you know that the Celts thought that only satire could bring down the power-abusing tyrant. And the legend was that the satirist, yourself, would present critique to the unruly ruler, and the unruly ruler would have to respond in kind. Not likely. But whoever's critique was less true, the ground would open up and eat them. Isn't that fun?
Well, you're quite right that it seems like people are turning to satire because they're not getting the reality from the mainstream media, and whether it's my show or John Oliver or Daily Show or what have you, but, you know, people are definitely turning to satire because it seems we are willing to speak these truths that are so forbidden on so many other networks.
But and it is, you know, the wizardry, you know, again, you know, I don't know if you were reading the Dilbert creator, Scott, his article in the Washington Post on how Trump's going to win in a landslide. Did you read that thing?
I heard about it, but I have not read it.
Okay, I'm reading through it. So it is, you know, chilling for a second in which we go, no, it's still muggle talk. We're not going to get smoked on our strong suit of symbolism and stuff. But he is a master persuader, the con man. Trump.
Yeah, and there's a lot about him that sadly, I mean, the thing is, especially if he goes up against Clinton, who, whether you love her or not, she is a flawed candidate if she's got an indictment hanging over her head. And I mean, you know, if it were anyone else, I think he would be destroyed, Trump would.
and he is taking everything down. I love, there's a short Rumi poem taught to me by homeless ally, the late, great Captain Cod, and it's just one line. Stop, be still, and listen, because you're drunk, and we're at the edge of the roof, right? So we might want to waft that. That's the kind of Trump report, I think. That's like, I mean, so what I want, you know, and here you're likely accomplice to many cultural hijinks right now is, you know, in the streets and in your recording studio and all those things, you know, we want to be rousing renaissance of directing attention, you know, with poetry, with music, with whatever the thing is. So it's not the reactive, like, we strengthen whatever we resist, and yes, we understand why people smash cop cars windows, but rather over here, you know, with Rumi poetry and you doing riffs and are you going to be covering the DNC?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be covering it a lot. We're not actually sure if we're going to get to film there as of now. Might be a lack of crew to achieve that, but we'll definitely be covering it, and I think it's going to be quite an event. You know, my show that we taped tonight, which will air tomorrow, the whole opening I'm devoting to the fact that the superdelegates don't vote until that convention. So while our mainstream media runs around acting like it's over, it's not really over until that convention, and people need to understand what the actual numbers are.
No, that's brilliant. After you must depart, I guess, in whatever whatever it is, 16 minutes, or 10 minutes, something, anyway, whatever it is. But I am going to play the brilliant 3-minute clip of you doing the Chris Matthews takedown, which was so satisfying. So we will play that. But, you know, we're all getting our tongues sharpened, and sometimes it's, you know, we don't want to be nice. We want to be kind-hearted, but not nice. And when I first heard the Chris Matthews theme, and you can explain what that is, but I go, geez, shameless, presumptive, clueless, fourth-grade, smart-ass monstrosity known as Chris Matthews. And that was fun. Going, yeah, so some people took umbrage, going, your rant, and I go, you mean my discernment, madam. Just lay it out for our team, because we have a large global audience, but it's mostly primarily hunkered in California right now that we're going live from D.C. We're both in D.C., spiraling to you, oh, dedicated Kahooters in California. But just remind them of how not to get snookered by, you know, Chris Matthews or MSNBC or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, all the mainstream outlets are already pivoting to pretend as if Hillary is the nominee, and she may ultimately get it, but for right now, she's not the nominee. She's up by 270 ballots. California has over 400 alone, and 270 delegates, and so it's definitely still within reach for Bernie Sanders if superdelegates change their quote-unquote pledge or opinion, which is not voted until the convention. And Chris Matthews the other day had Bernie Sanders' campaign manager on and said to his face, hey, the people around here at MSNBC tell me that we are going to announce Hillary Clinton the nominee as of 5 p.m. June 7th, before California has even finished voting, before they are done casting their ballots, we're going to announce who the nominee. And he basically says, you know, we know that will suppress the vote. I mean, he's admitting that the mainstream media is basically hoping to suppress the vote and tell everyone this race is over. But I think this race is far from over, because you have an indictment hanging over Hillary's head, and who knows what the superdelegates will do.
Well, also, Andrea Mitchell, I mean, see, it's such a great, disruptive, completely mutable, wild thing. And I love the mainstream guys going, nobody would have. It's like that, because you are clueless and irrelevant. You know, Andrea Mitchell was married to the Dementor of Money, and was a very Hillary, blah, blah, blah. But she just threw Hillary under the bus last week, going, this report actually is devastating. It's not what so much what she did, but she's really been lying for a year, and now she's hunkered down and doesn't want to talk to the press, and that's just no way to enter. Yeah, and then all the you know, obedient MSNBC people were like, oh yeah, she's in trouble. I want to throw to you too. I have my own take on how to completely suck the chi out of the bad idea of Biden showing up as the shoo-in. Do you have any? I know what I want to happen, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh my God, if that happened, people would flip out. Because if they're going to decide that Hillary is so flawed that she needs to be taken out of the lineup and therefore replaced by someone, then it clearly needs to be Bernie Sanders. He's got at least half the country's support. He trounces Trump in all the polls. So if they were to do that, to decide she's so flawed she can't run, and then replace her with Biden, they'd lose everybody. People would truly flip out.
Okay, so here's my trickster thought, because magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, going, should they try that, Scorpio Biden will reassure the superdelegates so they can actually reluctantly release Hillary, going, goodbye, adieu, don't come back. And then Biden does a quarterback sneak and passes the ball to Bernie, who joins hands with Elizabeth Warren in triumph, and that's the trickster model. I remember where you heard it first. I'm just laying that. We just want to lay the against all odds, you know, here's, because reality is pretty mutable right now. So we go, anyway, so absolutely what you say, you know, people would go crazy. But we go, all right, because somebody said, you know, don't you hate this election? And I go, well, that is one true story. But no, I actually kind of love it, because there's so much in play. I mean, you're pretty frisky, right? I mean, you're, you know, there's a lot to work with.
Well, there's definitely a lot to work with for a satirist, but, you know, the truth is that the world being so ugly is not something I root for, even if it gives me a lot of material. So, you know, I guess ideally, comedic-wise, maybe Trump being president is the best thing to happen for a comedian, but I don't want that.
No. I don't mean that at all. I mean because of the possibility of against all odds miraculous kind of thing that you know, it's like... well, you know, as I said backstage in an email, we are inching the ring of power into the crack of doom, you know, and we go, no, and the against all odds, and the horror and the horror of mob mind and the horribleness that Trump is eliciting, and but the opportunity, there's so much rousing ingenuity and global creativity, it's not going to go back in a box. It's like, I mean, that's what, we're rooting for that thing, going... Yeah, you know, it's like Alan Watts says, you know, no sense clinging to the rocks that are falling with you. So it's like, come on over, everybody, from the thing that's collapsing to the, you know, the more fun over here. But we're going to take a very, very short 1 minute break. You're going to hang with us a little bit, right, Lee Camp?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a very fun 1 minute break. It's Peter Dinklage from the Game of Thrones singing a 1 minute song that I think we could actually think of as a kind of Bernie anthem. Here we go.
Still going strong.
He's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still going strong.
Remember Ned Stark? He was a lot of fun, but he didn't make it past season one. Robert Baratheon was part of that crew, but he never made it to season two. The King of the North was cool, you said. Another favorite that ended up dead. You thought that Joffrey had to survive. He ain't in the credits for season five. Baby, you know I'm the man for all seasons. Characters get cut for various reasons. Some people's parts just ain't very long, but not me. I'm still going strong.
He's still going strong.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. Our splendiferous wizard guest is satirist, politico-satirist, insightful person, Lee Camp. His website is leecamp.net. And he's the animator of Redacted Tonight, which he will be recording in Washington, D.C. soon. But I did love playing that Game of Thrones satirical song as kind of Bernie-ish, but because this election will make Game of Thrones look like Mary Poppins, you know. There we go. And now back to Lee. So no, I just want to bring in the wizardry part of what you do, you know, and the magic of language and the magic of, you know, disruptive satire. It frees people's neurons. It's like Coyote throws lightning at the closed circle, turns it into a spiral, right? So I like thinking of you with a coyote head with a, you know, wafting lightning. I mean, is that a fun idea?
Yeah, I have that tattoo on my buttocks.
Right, there you go, exactly. That's right.
But yeah, language is definitely important, and you know, a lot of comedy just in general is language, a turn of a phrase or a turn of a thought, and I definitely make use of that a lot. I definitely use a lot of colorful language that maybe can't be said on this show, but part of the reason that I do that is because I feel like, you know, these are... People should be angry. The key is to direct that anger in the right direction, not towards like racism and things like that, but people should be. I think it's fair to be angry with the situation that we're seeing in this country, and so that's why I use some colorful language that, of course, is beeped on my show, but...
No, absolutely. No, liberating. And well, it's the trickster is the antidote to the con man, right? I mean, it's that's what I mean about such a clear year right now. So many things, because everything's flushed to the surface. Like, you know, a friend of mine says,
right.
she says, well, you know, politicians are designed to be disappointing, so we keep cultivating our leadership. So, you know, Bernie's great, but not perfect. Yes, you know, drones. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's perfect. And I do, I think you're helping the team. I want the team of people to compost any kind of whaley setup for disappointment. Like, oh, it didn't work. You know. We go expectation, partner of disappointment. Just, it's a trap. It's a con. You know, willingness. We're going to do stuff no matter what, you know, and you're a great exhorter. I mean, exhortation is one of your fuels, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that this movement needs to keep the energy, not just be about, I mean, any movement shouldn't just be about a man. It has to be about an idea or ideas and what we want in our society. And we are looking, I mean, this is a battle for cultural hegemony. This is, do we want to continue down a path that eats up all of our resources and goes for profit over all else, profit over people? Or do we want to live in a world that is sustainable, that can keep going for our children and grandchildren? And that shift, that decision is happening right now, because, you know, with climate change and other things, we only have about 20, 30 years to make this decision if we're lucky. And it's this fight is now. And so I think this, you know, and even if Bernie were to win the presidency, that's the movement behind these ideas has to continue in order to give him the political leverage to do anything about it. So whether he wins or not, this, people have to find the energy and the excitement in this activism that is not about one person.
No, absolutely. No, it is a rising, rousing global wind of, you know, yes, creative outrage and genius. You know, anything that's anywhere is everywhere. I mean, the independent Green was elected president of Austria, defeating the fear-mongering right-wing demagogue by only 30,000 votes. So everybody, so vote, no matter what. I want to compost when people go, oh, voting's a con, and it's like, no, vote.
There's nothing corporations want more than for you to think voting doesn't matter and just go home.
Thank you. Exactly. And also the reactive violence in the streets, you know, understandable, but very obedient. And again, the trickster dynamic is, you know, directing attention, going to that, we're going over here, and, you know, and in the middle of the street, here's Lee Camp giving a, you know, I don't know, a sermon. And here's, you know, here's John Densmore, right, doing a thing, and here's, you know, we're going this way. I just remember once, you know, in D.C., big march against the World Bank, and the World Bank had spent millions of dollars surrounding itself with barbed wire. And so at first, everybody was like, no, bad fence. And, you know, trickster, and, you know, me and a trickster cohort, we just saw the moment. We stepped in. We go, thank you, World Bank, for fencing off the evil in you with this beautiful fence. Now let us turn our back to the fence and talk about what we want to have it, which then everybody did. Right? They'd been worshiping the fence, right? And it's like, no, thank you, World Bank, for protecting us from your evil self with this expensive fence.
And you successfully arrested the World Bankers. So good for you. You got them inside a cage.
Well,
that's pretty impressive.
They're to themselves. Again, that's just words do the reversal magic, and we go, yeah, it's like, again, the wizardry of words and satire and Densmore's music, and we have so much, you know. It is such a great time for, and this is a great show with, I mean, meaning not I'm great, but the dedicated listenership, you'll get a lot of response here. There are so many great humans, you know, really ingenious and willing to do good and animating and contributing to the guiding story, going, oh, and yeah, we don't need it to be worse. I mean, I do know people that I love who said, no, if Trump won, that would really wake people up, because it would be, it's like, it's bad enough. No, that's Trotsky.
they should wake up already. Yeah. You mentioned the World Bank. One of the proudest moments of my show Redacted Tonight was that we got a phone call from his office saying that he found one of my segments offensive.
Wait, who? The head of the World Bank?
The president of the World Bank. Because something, I can't remember what he said, it was a year ago, but I spent a 5-minute segment tearing apart something he said, and we got a call saying we were offensive, and I said, if we're offensive to the World Bank, then perfect. We're doing the right thing.
That's right. Thank you so much. It's again, we bring in Groucho Marx and many beings in that response. So yeah, no, engagement, and I do think, you know, it is everybody connecting, that's important. The miracle use of technology, like you do, because you're off, I guess, in 2 minutes, I think, to go record your show tonight in Washington, D.C., in the belly of the beast, as you say. And then it spirals out through, you know, YouTube and Facebook and other things? Or what? Where? How does it get out there?
That is true. I spiral out through at Lee Camp, C-A-M-P, on Twitter, and Lee Camp Comedian on Facebook, and then YouTube.com/redactedtonight and LeeCamp.net. Those are all my spirals.
That's really great. And you record it tonight, and when does it get released? I'm always hopping up and down with eagerness.
It airs on RT America tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, and then it will be up shortly thereafter at YouTube.com/redactedtonight.
Right, and one of your colleagues at RT, I've spaced on his name, but he was doing a show on how the Democratic Convention is being brought to us by Republicans and Comcast. Do you know that? I don't know if you saw that or if you're going to cover that.
No, I haven't seen that yet, but it might have been Tyrell Ventura on Watching the Hawks. I'm not sure, though.
We got to know everything. We got to know everything, and as Wendell Berry says, you know, be jolly, even though deeply informed. So there's that. So I know you must go tape your show, right?
Yes, I'm going to go tape my show, and it's been a pleasure, and I hope we do this again soon. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. We will. Thank you so much, Lee Camp. LeeCamp.net. There we go. Okay, team, because I had such splendid wizards, that had that segment amount of time because they're off doing great work in the world. Yay. So John Densmore was our first 20 minutes, and that was Lee Camp, satirist. These are wizards, the elder mage wizard, and handing the blessing baton to the younger satirist wizard. Again, it is such a great time, no ghettos. And so now maybe we do weaving of context. There we go. Okay, let's settle down for all of us. Okay, so it's dark of moon in Gemini, Mercury, the magician's realm, power of language. May we all be irresistibly eloquent, spicy, direct attention. There we go. Because, you know, yes, in reading the Dilbert creator Scott, piece, I will probably be posting it on Twitter. Follow me, Stand Up Coyote, or Facebook, Caroline Casey, or Coyote Network News, or website, coyotenetworknews.com. But it is a worthy, chilling piece. He had predicted that Donald Trump would be the nominee a year ago, and now he predicts a landslide for Donald Trump. And we go, all right, situation so dire, we're not going to be constrained by the... We can't afford the luxury of realism. There we go. And we go, all right, but we do want to look at why he's saying that. And it is worth a look, going, this is a skilled con. Remember, Lewis Hyde said, Coyote is lucky if enough con men show up to school him or her. And we go, oh, we are very lucky. We are very lucky. So many con men showing up and so many cons. You know, and it's a theme. The con imprisons, the trickster liberates in our language. You know, so how do we also tease this in this dark of the moon when people would gather in council as we're doing through the literalized telepathy of radio? Yay. We love that. So this is traditionally, you know, for 30,000 years, when people would gather now to go, what do we want to give voice to? And, you know, we are magicians, power of language, power of painting, power of music. And how do we want to direct collective attention? Really, everyone. And I think part of the dynamic, you know, I'm working with my different classes online and whatnot, anyway, so, or whatever they are, councils, that's what it is. So, for instance, right now, not only is it dark of the moon, but in the Sky Earth story, it's what's called a grand square, a grand cross in mutable signs. We go, and so there's a description and then an instruction. Remember, the word disaster means against the stars, disaster, and consider is the antidote. Con is with and sider is the stars, so we don't have to believe in anything. When we gather to consider, we're lining up with the choreography of creation. When we don't, we're whacked around the edges, and that's why it's very edgy. I quip to myself, it's an edgy, reactive time right now. you know, I felt like unfriending myself on Facebook, going, and so how to have spice and repartee, and not be nice, because nice comes from the word nescient, which means ignorant, but have a kind heart wedded to a spicy, playful intellect directing attention, you know. And then I my admiration for Bernie Sanders really keeps growing. And just for the fun of it, he is a Virgo, which is incarnation of Hermes, the art of directing collective attention. I learn a lot from Bernie. My dad, long before I was born, was a New Deal congressman, working-class Irish, 3rd District, Massachusetts, with FDR. And I do feel that his ghost would be delighted, going, ooh, this conversation of just simple, sane reverence, the New Deal, the 1948 Democratic platform would be pretty good. That was universal health care and no war, and, but the Dixiecrats put an end to that thing. So, as Mark Twain says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And we go, there's a lot of resonance. There's a 1968 resonance. And I go, all right, so for our team, we are magicians. We are language people. We are artists at directing collective attention. The con and the trick is really useful. We say to react to anything is not free. But it's to carry around a portable prison for oneself and others, and it's hot. Reaction is hot in an already too hot world. It's understandable, but it's also why we, who are not, right this moment anyway, in hot, reactive circumstance, owe it to do the function of ritual magic, which is to spiral out into group mind, into the memosphere, expanded wisdom and tolerance, and an ever-expanding repertoire of responses. Reaction is a con, imprisons. Responses is a liberating trick to ally ourselves with nature's evolutionary ingenuity. So more language, more responses, more possibilities. Right now, part of this grand square, like, and we go, no, we step into the center of the storm, as Santeria teaches us. And we hurl the horsetail whip with Oya to summon the winds of change from the center of the thing, directing the traffic as things come along. So we don't go, oh, no, oh, terrible, into the center, going and directing it in many ways. Two things I want to bring up again, just from the mundane. When I was at the Symbiosis Festival, pretty great, last September, and there with wonderful Amakela, and we will be cahooting again, Amakela Gaston and I, on June 11th in Fairfax, California, at their Echo Fest. It'll be a talk at 6:30 at the Women's Club there. More details on my website, coyotenetworknews.com. And then on June 20th, Amakela Gaston and I will be cahooting again, this rousing time to gather, whoa, like none others, and Amakela can really call it in. We want to call in power and guide it, going, here we go, and toss out those spells. Anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and an occasion for mirth in the fullness of time, perhaps. Again, to animate everything. So we were at Symbiosis. We were co-emceeing, having a pretty great time, and there was a really upscale, impressive karaoke performance on stage one night. Really masterful comedic, great MCs, interesting people, very together. And at the very kind of culmination, a kind of insane, crazy person leapt on stage and began ripping off her clothes and dry humping everybody on stage. And I thought, I don't think this is part of the program. And it's always that issue, what are they going to do, right? Because, but the one MC woman was just masterful. And she created an energetic path. She just hooked her arm in the crazy woman and go, and you, dear, you come with me because you're fascinating. And she just led her right off stage again. We're creating the thing. And you, Donald Trump, you come this way because you are fascinating. There you go. Right there you go. And we sentence you to 100 years of aromatherapy and 8 years of permaculture. Whatever the thing is, it is a time to play. And the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint. There we go. So, again, playing. So further in the grand cross right now. So and it is Dark of the Moon, New Moon, you know, Saturday night, there we go. So what does each one of us want to be a voice for? And whatever we love, let us broker a deal to be its voice, to be a voice for its beauty. It's like to protect wolves, become more like wolves. To protect water, become more like water. And somebody in my trickster training mystery school online last night, you know, typed in question from Australia. We love our global cahooting. Going, you know, there's so much hatred around immigration. It's everywhere. All right. Again, the cunning man stirring up hatred. And, you know, how do I deal with that? You know, even people I know saying terrible things. And I think this is so crucial for all of us, again, to be agents of cool response in a hot, reactive world. You know, and magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, going, so we got to do this. And what I said to her, well, in keeping with that thing, I go, well, to work with the beauty of refugees, migrants, and I like changing the word to pilgrims, you know, become more like them. You know, again, to really understand the deep cultural intelligence of Syria and the beauty of what the Germans, some, are doing, which is, you know, Syria is such a deep-rooted and fantastic culture, and a wise culture would be better when, in the sense of welcoming strangers, and so much of the beauty of Syria that is forced to travel to so many places in the world now, but there is great beauty there, and certainly what we need, the oppressor seeks the medicine of what he oppresses. In Bedouin culture, it is specifically welcoming the stranger. Hello, change your direction and come this way, O traveler, O journeyer. You must have endured much. You must have seen much. You must have the stories we now need. Right, the thing that, you know, so, which is true. I mean, that's what a wise culture would do. And so what part of what is going on in Germany that's quite beautiful is, you know, Syrians who were keepers of culture and museums and art people and are now becoming the docents and guides in German art museums and museums of antiquity. And we go, yes, that's a beautiful image, like a for instance. And then it's also crucial, as wizards of communication, everyone hearing this, you know, that it's like, I remember the first Gulf War, and I was invited to an artist's salon, and I go, oh, thank, the bombing had started, and I was like, oh, thank God, we can figure out many ways to mobilize to stop this, and I was appalled. It was like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Everyone there, this, you know, salon of artists was going, well, we had no choice, and at least the bombs are smart bombs. And I was like, no, the purpose of artists is there's always a choice. What are you guys talking about? But I was pretty harumphy, right? And it was not well met. Who do you think you are? And a wise friend of mine later said, you know, that is a hot reaction there, and, you know, how to harness the... And she said, you know, people really never mind being asked, did you know? Now, we compost our harumphitude so we don't ask it in a snarky way, did you know? Which is truly colonial, and there's a flag on that play, embodying what one decries, 5-yard penalty, decline, ball back in play. But did you know, and what she said as an example for the first Gulf War, did you know that the Kuwaitis were slant drilling oil? You know, did you know it? Because if one can ask it in a clean way, people go, they don't mind. I didn't know that, or I didn't know. It's a very skillful, important, and useful thing. So it behooves all of us to be agents of what we love and agents of the unfolding Renaissance to know a lot. You know, again, it's an inner democracy and an outer democracy. It's not like, oh, the mind is bad and the heart is good. It's no, they love each other. Those are false dichotomies. You know, again, as Martine Prechtel often brings to this show, you know, the indigenous people gather, you know, they honor the power of eloquence and speaking as a tribute to nature. The ancient Greeks, you know, everything befoibled, but rhetoric and public speaking were considered one of the essential skills of being a civilized person and capable of discourse and participation in the collective. And we go, yeah, that's really important. And just we would proffer right now, there's a beautiful pattern, I will say it, and then animate it, may it be so. So the sun, new moon in Gemini, Venus is right next to the sun, which is called Venus in the underworld. You know, the Anonymous is the Venus orbital cycle. Remember that myths, dreams, music, chants, fairy tales were how culture passed on their knowledge, their science wrapped in, but also so knowledge and the understanding of beauty that we're all in this dream together, you know, knowledge was passed down, you know, in that protective, guiding, metaphoric reality. And then when the Enlightenment came and colonialism came and people were like, oh, superstition, oh, astrology, fuh, oh, myth, oh, fairy tale, then science becomes a straight arrow going, no more of that thing. And it's why boys can say, we are going to put mackerel genes in this tomato because we're unencumbered by moral guidance of the previous mythology. So part of the assignment for all of us right now is to go heart, you know, yes, heart and mind, good, science and mysticism, they all want to go together. This is the great fragmentation, the great diabolic throwing apart that is gathering us to spiral in, even over this weekend, to spiral in all that's been falsely, you know, separated as a mean, estranged, all that's been falsely estranged as a mean trick of the reality police to render people ineffective or conned. Or colonized. And when we speak about magic, let's just say that magic, again, let me repeat, you know, magic is a willingness to cooperate with everything, going, all right, well, that's coming along, all right, now how do we do with that? And I love a friend recently was asked, you know, what's your definition of maturity? And he said, maturity is to have access to all of one's resources. And I go, that's pretty great. That's pretty great. You know, not resources like, you know, we're not talking about, you know, we're not turning nature into resources. All of our skills, all of our qualities of intelligence, all the things we've done, you know, all the different chapters of our life, you know, they want to brew together. Who brought what to this party? You know, where are neighborhoods full of wealth in terms of not money necessarily, but skills and stories and knowledge. So there's that dynamic. So, okay, so there's a sun in Gemini and it's opposite Neptune, squaring Neptune, squaring Jupiter, opposite Saturn. What forms are we going to grow? Saturn is retrograde right now. I like thinking of planets symbolically as a narrative thing, you know, that are retrograde. They appear as an illusion to be moving backwards from the Earth's perspective. That Saturn itself is, you know, representing leadership, and how we define leadership is going on a vision quest. So for all of us to, in our own hearts, define what is desirable leadership, you know, what's the job that we want? What is the voice we're willing to contribute? You know, all of that, there's so much, you know, woofing before us. We do, you know, love that. So again, I want to thank the wizards within everyone. I look forward to cahooting in person with many of the team again, June 11th in Fairfax, California, as part of their Echo Fest, Fairfax's Echo Fest at the Women's Club at 6:30 p.m. More information at coyotenetworknews.com, and also Summer Solstice, which is a full moon in San Rafael at Open Secret. So, yes, we are Wizards of Rousing Reverent Renaissance, Rising from the Rubble Radio, and we thank, you know, the Wizard Bernie Sanders and the Wizard John Densmore and the Wizard Lee Camp. I'm Caroline Casey, thanking Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C., and Erica Bridgman in Berkeley, and I will see many of you soon. Woof, woof, woof. CoyoteNetworkNews.com. We will reconvene next week. Arroof.
Millen's novels have always told the uncensored truth about friends, family, lovers, and oneself. She is laugh-out-loud generous in how we talk about love and all its wonders. Yes, Indeed, Terry McMillan has been delighting us with stories just bursting with warmth, humor, and tell it like it is truth, with novels like Waiting to Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back. Now she's coming to the First Congregational Church in Oakland, 2501 Harrison, to present her new book, I Almost Forgot About You. I'm Sabrina Jacobs, and I'll be hosting this KPFA event, inviting you to join us on Thursday, June 23rd. Tickets are available through brownpapertickets.com or supportive bookstores like Marcus Books. This event is wheelchair accessible and has free parking available. For more information, go to kpfa.org.
The Bay Area Book Festival returns throughout downtown Berkeley on Saturday, June 4th and Sunday, June 5th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. This family-friendly festival for book lovers of all ages is BART accessible. More than 250 authors will participate this year, including Irish novelist Colm Tóibín, recent Pulitzer Prize winners T.J. Stiles and William Finnegan, Richard Russo, U.S. Poet Laureate Juan Felipe Herrera, Sherman Alexie, and Rebecca Solnit. Writers from 13 countries, including Egypt, Taiwan, Korea, India, and several European nations will gather to make the Bay Area Book Festival a truly international gathering. The website, baybookfest.org. KPFA proudly co-sponsors the Bay Area Book Festival, happening June 4th and 5th throughout downtown Berkeley.
This is a benefit for the Bay Area Book Festival.